April 1, 2021, it's the Watt for Pedro Show. Bob from Pedro Show. Happy April Fools. It's D Boone's B Day.
I know. Matt told me that. That's like such a great thing. That's an honor to be on such an important day.
Yeah.
And people, you can tell that I'm not totally man alone, because the one who's a Scott and those Estonian software engineers. I got Pat Cynthia from Bush Tetris. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, it's thanks. Good to be here. Wish we were in San Pedro.
San Pedro.
I'm sure it's warmer there.
Yeah, it is. It's probably going to be in the 70s. And I was from Virginia when I was a boy, and so I got, spoiled. I never left. My pop was in the Navy, right? He's a machinist mate, and Vietnam was closer to here, so we came here.
Cold weather's overrated.
it's good for staying home and getting stuff done, and that's about it.
Yeah. As you can tell, it's been a long winter here.
Yeah,
we were really holed up.
Yeah, that's why I've been doing five Watt from Pedro shows a week since November. I got to tell the people, we start off with John Coltrane doing Angel Eyes, and then Bush Tetris with Too Many Creeps.
Wow, what a combo.
Yeah. Who wants to go first? Cynthia, Pat, which one?
I want to talk about your usually tag team it.
Okay. Well, it's about, like, before you guys were Bush Tetris, I want to understand your journey through music. Like, when you start, like, okay, C is before P. So, Cynthia, you go first. What's your earliest musical recollection?
My dad was a real swing band fanatic. So I grew up with a lot of jazz and swing music, and he would take us to Gilbert and Sullivan musicals. So we had a lot of music in my house, constantly, and classical music. But he put me on to, Charlie Barnett and Gene Krupa and Benny Goodman and all that. So I was into the dancing.
Okay. So was he a player or a listener or both?
No, he was a listener, totally. He was a singer. He used to sing in, church choir. So he had a really, really nice voice. But no, he was actually a sculptor.
Well, I'm wondering if there was any musical instruments in the pad you grew up.
No. We got a piano. They got me a piano when I was in third grade, I think. But I couldn't, I wasn't disciplined enough. The practice was killing me. Playing tarantella over and over and over. So I wasn't really into it. I really listened, but I'm from Cleveland, so we listened to a lot of Motown. So I grew, as I was getting a little older, and like 10, 11, and that's when I started really getting into Motown, pretty much. And I had a transistor radio underneath the covers through the night, fall asleep with the radio next to your head kind of thing.
What about school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
I was in the church choir.
Oh, my God.
Yes. See, Pat doesn't even know this. Mm-hmm. So I was in the church choir and I sang in school. I always liked singing, and I'd sing with my sisters a lot. But I never, I was really a visual artist.
Okay. What about the first record you bought with your own money?
It was a single. It was Love Child.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. What about the first gig you went and saw?
Well, I saw a good one. I went to see Ziggy Stardust.
Whoa.
It blew me away. It was amazing.
You know what my first gig was?
What was that?
T-Rex.
Oh. Equally phenomenal. Oh, my God. Because it was such a spectacle.
Me and D. Boone went. Yeah. T-Rex wasn't that big here. It was at the Long Beach Auditorium. maybe 3,000 people, 2,000 people. And it was packed and stuff, but I wish I think a SoCal gig that you went to was at the Santa Monica Civic. I didn't get to see it.
Yeah, ours was at this, you know, what was it called, Public Hall or something. It wasn't that big. It was probably 3,000, too.
Yeah.
In Cleveland, and I remember, like, hanging over the balcony, screaming, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. I feel like I'm losing our minds. I lost my mind. Lost my mind. It really changed my life.
Yeah, me and Dee Boone. His pop took us. He sat with us, man. And there was a Hare Krishnas in front of us. It tripped him out. You know, he's from Nebraska and stuff. Well, what about jumping on instruments? And, you know, when did that happen? How'd you get into rock and roll playing it?
Well, I moved to New York after Pat and Laura did, and I came and I befriended Pat through Laura because I knew Laura in New York City downtown, and it was just in the ether here. Like, everybody was kind of either in a band or doing art or doing theater or, you know, film. And I was writing some words. I mean, I wasn't playing anything. I wasn't playing instruments.
Yeah, Dee and Laura, this is Pat now. Dee and Laura and I had started jamming. And we tried a couple other singers. And Cynthia and I were best friends. I had quit the contortions. And so we were jamming. And Cynthia was my best friend at the time. I said, please come and sing with us. And then we did. And she did. And we did it.
Yeah, I had huge stage fright.
But that's your first band. That's your first.
Yeah.
Okay. Joe Baez was 27, the Saccharine Trust guitarist, when he started on guitar. A lot of people don't understand in the movement. Some people, that was their first time ever getting into this stuff.
Yeah, I was 20. Yeah. I was 22, and I had been in Cleveland. Laura and I were in this thing with John Morton called Johnny and the Dicks. Do you know who John Morton is?
No.
Electric Eels.
He was an Electric Eels.
Oh, yeah, with Michael.
Yeah, but it was more of an art. It was more of an art experimental thing.
Michael
actually had songs, but I got, you know, roped into it.
That's okay. I mean.
Oh, it was pretty magical because as soon as we started playing together, the chemistry was just really strong.
What was the first gig like?
So we played at this place called Tier 3, which is a tiny little place. But there was a lot of hoopla about the show because there's three girls up front, and Pat had quit the contortions right before that. And so there were a lot of people there. It was crammed. We had seven songs, so we played them twice. We played seven songs.
Yeah, we played the seven songs twice, and our second gig was opening for the Feelies at Irving Plaza, and we were like, what the hell?
And I was playing guitar then, so I played the entire show on standby. I thought, gee, I can't hear my guitar, but I was so petrified.
So we put the guitar down for Cynthia.
Too much.
Just sing.
Just give me a cowbell.
I mean, we seriously didn't know what we were doing, and then suddenly we were, like, playing. I mean, Irving Plaza opening for Phillies, that was, like, a couple thousand people.
Well,
right?
That for the punk days, that was a big gig. I want to play this.
It was our second gig, and it was just kind of crazy.
Yeah, bitch. I want to play Das A Riot.
Thank you. intruders through millennia upon millennia. We, an animal that shifts its shape accordingly, are but spokes supporting the wheel, a dream, a vision. A man-made construct, which has its own momentum-powered gravitas. Blind as a mole, powerful as an oxen, ruthless and caring as a wild dog. DNA unravels over time, inch by inch, emptying a helical spool of imagery which fills our minds and history books with stories that separate and cement humanity from the everything. Life is held at the end of this golden strand, suspended at the material limitations of its construct, at the mercy of innovation to continue its suspension, its continued reinvention. A reference from the intellect. This Sam could be one of a thousand names to represent the element, which is as permanent as any igneous rock is to the greater forces of this world. But Sam comes to me by itself, energetic and full of explanation. I am to it as it is to me, a ghost, seemingly disconnected but familiar, prospect of kinship if fear decides to reduce its delusional potential.
Thank you. watching me. Here I am, I'm sick of TV. I'm tired of watching it, and it's tired of watching me. Here I am, I'm sick of TV. I'm tired of watching it, and it's tired of watching me. Here I am, I'm sick of TV. I'm tired of watching it, and it's tired of watching me.
lot from Pedro Show, that chunk of music. Bush Tetris, Das Riot. And if it, yeah, spelled phonetically, huh?
Yeah, like, it's all right.
Yeah, yeah, it's happening. Yeah. This ain't no picnic. This was Minuteman. And somebody turned me on to this because it's just at the Vex in East L.A., but D. Boone's singing different words. I don't remember him ever doing this. So it's a trip to see this.
He's doing like one of those Lou Reed things, yeah, right? Sing whatever you want.
Take no prisoners, that right? Yeah. And Chris Gregory after that with Helical Thread out of England. Swarm of Flies, Rhyth, Ken out of Brooklyn. The Hellbeans from England with Habit Can't Kick. Steve Abercrombie, Sick of TV. The Reprisal from John Duncan. Stefano Pellea. And finally, You Can't Be Funky. Bush to Tetris. Now, Pat, your turn. What you kind of came in there chiming to help, Cynthia. But what's your earliest musical recollection?
Early musical recollection? Oh, God. I don't know. My parents listened to Frank Sinatra. I mean, that kind of shit. But my brother was 6 years older than me, so he kind of led me into, like, rock and roll a little more. And, yeah, we had piano lessons. When I saw the Beatles and Ed Sullivan, I insisted on a guitar. And they bought me an acoustic guitar. The action was about an inch off the neck, so... I didn't understand why I was having such a hard time playing, but I kind of gave all that up and went to art school and moved to New York. And the whole punk scene and then the no wave scene was going on, and I was finding that way more interesting than the art world. So I kind of jumped into that, you know, by accident with James.
I ask you, what was the first record you bought with your own money?
Are You Experienced?
Oh, yeah, Jimmy. And what about first gig you saw?
Oh, it's kind of lame. I think I was like 11 or 12, and it was the first gig I went to, like, without that the parents dropped us off in Chicago. Love and Spoonful.
Oh, yeah. John Sebastian.
Yeah, John Sebastian. Right.
Do you believe
that? But, you know, I was barely a teenager, so it was kind of... I saw lots of good shows, though, after that.
Yeah, I always ask about the first one because, you know, you only have the first one once. What about at school? Did you have any... you had the lessons with piano and you didn't dig them, but did you have any music stuff in school? Like grade school and high school and shit like that?
No, just like, you know, the usual grade school, like, yeah, piano lessons. I played oboe in the band for a year or two.
Oh, wow.
But I mean, you know, I didn't really. I was much more of an art student than music. Although I was totally into music and in high school, you know, all I did was draw, paint, and listen to music, you know.
Oh, great. You know, double reed oboe, and there's connect with art in my mind here because in Barcelona, huh, that Gaudi Church, Familia Sangra,
uh-huh.
The angels ain't playing harps, they're playing bassoons.
Oh, wow, that's so cool.
Anyway.
Well, I know, you know what, I picked that instrument mostly because I thought it was a cool instrument, not, you know.
They say it really cuts through because there's something about the pitch. Yeah. So, did you get into any like bands? Well, you got a guitar, but acoustic. You end up getting an electric guitar, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I got into the Contortions by hanging out at CBGB's. James Chance was starting his own band, and I was just hanging out there every night, you know, watching the Ramones or the whoever was playing at that moment. Everyone was playing, just coming through. It was kind of an amazing moment in like 76 in New York City, CBGB's. And James just came up to me and said, you know, do you play an instrument? And I was like, oh, yeah. And I had borrowed my friend's bass. I was trying to learn. I play bass. So I went to the first rehearsal and... it was obvious I couldn't play bass, so. But, you know, I had seen DNA, you know, Lindsay, Arta Lindsay. And Lydia and Connie Berg from Mars all playing slide guitar, and I thought, oh, I could do that. So I did that. And the first gig we played at Max's Kansas City, I think I had played guitar for 2 weeks. And at the end of the show, I had 2 strings left on the guitar, and it was splattered with blood. So I had no idea how to strum or anything. But, you know, it was about the energy of the show.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Also, a lot of fucking nerve, you know?
Yeah, I know. I think of that, and I think, wow, what was I thinking? I don't know. I just did it.
Exactly.
Well, you think part of it was kind of like there was other folks doing it, too? You got, like, it was contagious?
Well, yeah, the no wave scene kind of opened it up for, you know, anarchistic, nihilistic, well, you know,
art students.
Yeah, art students deconstructing music was basically what was going on.
Yeah.
So you could really do anything. But James actually had training as a musician and could play. And he would would mix us with, you know, some real players. And then eventually, like you guys, I mean, the Minutemen started out really not knowing how to play. And you grew to learn, right?
Yeah. Well, you know... 70s, right before the movement, you with your friends, you try to copy songs off records. We knew in our town would write their own songs. No one. We didn't know about that. In fact, somebody heard us trying to do Tie Your Mother Down or some shit and say, hey, there's a scene up in Hollywood where people play their own songs, you know, and we went and saw The Bags. That was the first gig we saw.
Oh, wow, great.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing... I looked at D. Boone, and out of my mouth fell out, we can do this.
Yeah.
And I never thought that about an arena rock show. Well, I never knew about clubs until the movement. You know, it was all arena rock.
Wow. So you had to go up to L.A. to catch the punk.
Hollywood, scene. West Hollywood. I mean, politically, we are part of we're the harbor of Los Angeles, but that's 30 miles north of us.
Right.
We're spread out here. Yeah. So it was like almost another world, right? And, but it was a world where people made their own bands and wrote their own songs. We got infected. Yeah. We got infected.
And so you went back to San Pedro and did that.
Yeah. We said, let's try write songs. Let's try to find our own sound. I mean, and then we saw DNA at the Hong Kong Cafe. James too came to the other mass. Right, on Santa Monica Boulevard. In fact, he was fighting with people in the crowd.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
It was great. These funk jams with him, you know, blowing bitch and sax and then, like, duking it out with people, throwing chingazos.
Yeah, that was his thing. Much, you know, like, we never knew what was going to happen to any gig, you know, if he was going to make it through, end up in the hospital, which he did a few times. But, of course, none of it was ever discussed. It's not like we'd be at rehearsal and he'd say, hey, guys, I'm going to jump into the audience and get in a fight. He just did it. And then one time, George Scott went to defend him at Max's, and he pulled down his big SVT. What is it?
Big bass amp. Yeah.
Huge bass amp came down on the stage because the cord didn't reach, and he was trying to get to save James from getting the shit beat out of him.
Okay, we're at the end of the first hour, April 1st, 2021. Yeshua Pedro, so special guest, Cynthia Pat of the Bush Tetris. Hold tight for hour two. April 1st, 2021. It's the second hour of the Walk from Pedro show.
Your embrace is beyond the urge. It was Dein Mund und dein Stil in never had a sore throat.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Pedro Show started the second hour off with Cowboys in Africa from Bush Tetris. Then Occupy the Crease from Ben Salter in Tasmania. SNES with their SZ Proj, Koenig, the Gastrobiter remix. My Dolls after that, Houston, Fair Stands the Fields of France. That's a title. Network Glass from Baltimore, 69 at CG. High Five Club with Eugene Chadbourne. He played Electric Rate and Psychobilly, remember that? And this is him with the French guys, High Five Club with No Golden Throat. Finally, Bush Tetras with Nails. So, what about Bush Tetra recording?
No, it was a 7-inch. The first record was Too Many Creeps.
Yeah, yeah.
You Taste Like the Tropics and Snakes Crawl.
Okay, that's the one I'm talking about. Three songs.
Yeah, that was the first 99 one. Records.
Yeah, right. ESG.
Yeah, and Liquid.
Right,
and,
right. It was a record store, right?
It was.
So, yeah. But, so is that you guys' first recordings?
Yep.
Tell me about those.
Yeah, that wasn't our very first recording.
Oh, right.
But it was the first thing that came out. We're actually releasing the other soon. That's never been heard before.
You mean but, you guys recorded without releasing?
Yeah, we recorded with Don Christensen before that. The song Fess Up and Patty Paladin.
I mean, it was very lo-fi production.
I'd only been singing, and Laura and I, it was like maybe a month into the band.
We recorded five songs or something.
No, it was last three songs.
Anyway, the first release was Too Many Creeps on 99.
Why didn't that first thing come out?
We were looking at it like a demo.
Okay.
And then Ed Ballman came to us, and I think we didn't have Taste Like the Tropics yet, and we had just started playing that And he thought those would be three good songs to release. So we chose those songs to release. The other was kind of like a demo. And then we did Dasa Riot and boom.
Right. Did that one in England with Fetish Records.
In Surrey, we recorded in a haunted barn, John King's studio. It was really cool.
Haunted barn.
Yeah, because Boom in the Night is, I wrote that about George Scott because he had died of an overdose. And I was very close to him and wrote that song. And I felt like his spirit was there totally.
Oh, it was in the barn when you guys were recording?
He was in the barn. He was with us. Yeah. And that was a really great experience, except I was a vegetarian. And, you know, their idea of vegetables over there in England
is a pea. Yeah. Oh, back then. It's a pea in a shepherd's pie, or some sort of like weird pie with all kinds of organs inside.
Eat around the organs. I was pretty miserable about the food, but.
But, you know, food wasn't a big focus then. We could live on one pea a day.
Yeah, and we had, like, Rod Pierce was, and he was the head of Fetish Records, which is an amazing label, and we stayed at his place, and I used to cook there, and I was learning how to make all this kind of, like, Jamaican food.
Oh,
vegetarian,
yeah.
Jamaican food, so I'd cook for everybody.
They have them little pies, but they're good.
They're like
empanadas. Yeah, they have curry in them.
Yeah, they have plenty of meat there in Jamaica, but I knew how to make some vegetarian rice and peas.
Smash, mushy, that's what they call it.
Oh, my God. Isn't that amazing? That's what I remember about the recording. The food. Great selective memory these days.
Now, you went into the studio with these songs already written, right? You probably had been playing them at gigs.
Yeah, we had been playing out at that time quite a bit. In London, we were there, and we were open for Gang of Four a couple times.
You mentioned the singer, right? Was that his bar?
What, in Gang of Four? We met the whole band. We were friends with Hugo from the beginning.
I think he lives in Boston.
He does. Yeah. He lives in Gloucester. I just was texting with him. He said to say hello.
Yeah, he's always been very kind to me.
Yeah.
I want to play.
Because you're a lovely man.
Okay, right back. I want to play Ocean.
Are you Fishman, Ben?
No.
Which one are you?
I'm French.
Thank you.
Watt from Peter show. Well, pilot error there. Can't blame the airplane, right? Bush Tetras with Ocean. And then Wharton's Expanding Jazz Band. Overlords Can Wait. Well, Wharton Tears.
Oh, great.
Right? You know, yeah. Recorded with him and Bob Klein.
Yes.
And Lee Rinaldo, we did Freeze Out, Bobby Dylan. And Wharton, just he's a drummer man, but he also recorded a lot of the... He's a good buddy of Glenn Branca, Thurston and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And Glenn Branca was on 9-9.
That's right. In fact, Theoretical Girls, that's the 7-inch. Theoretical Girl, the first one I got back on. Right. Waku Waku Kingdom, After That Step, New World, Fridge Walks, Sean Lennon, O.M.P. Jones with David E. Gregg. It's Gaelic shit. I destroy another language, sorry. San Francisco from Black Randy and the Metro Squad. They were from the old days here, and he was a riot. He's hilarious. Bush Tetras finally with Heart Attack. And recording that barn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what was that? I remember Neil Young, I think Harvest was recorded in a barn. I mean, how do you record in a barn?
Well, it was John King's place.
Okay, okay. He converted it over?
It was a converted barn.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it was definitely ancient. You know, it's Surrey, England. It was really, I don't know, probably 1600s, 1700s or something. Jesus. And we were staying in the farmhouse that was attached. And it was just like a real, it was very magical. Like we really felt, because we were so removed from everything. It's kind of otherworldly experience.
Yeah, being from, you know, the city and that.
Right, Manhattan.
Recording.
What about touring? What was the difference in touring over here in the U.S. than touring over there?
Well, it was really tough over there. Except we got really good response in Germany. But in Manchester, I remember in particular, it was like horrible. Pat broke a string, and you can relate. It was early on, and it took her quite a while to change the string.
We didn't
have an extra guitar because we, and it was very shoestring. And they were just, they were merciless. they hated us, and it was pretty, it could be really rough, but you know,
no, I agree.
We just did it. That whole thing. We just did it.
Yeah, it's so, like you guys getting spit on. It's
yeah,
like,
well, yeah. Even more than that, our first Europe tour, the Minutemen got cups of piss, sacks of shit, paper ones rip when they.
Brutal.
And sacks of puke. And one time in Vienna, I got hit. All the power went off in the first note of the first tune. Ooh. And when it came back on, I was covered with used condoms.
Oh, God. That takes a lot of work to collect all those
new condoms. I started laughing. That's the first thing I was thinking. Man, somebody put some effort into this shit.
Yeah, really, lots of work. Oh, my God. Yeah, we didn't get that, but I remember this one show in London. We played, because we were on Fetish, and we played with Clock DVA and another band. And they wore short pants.
Oh, God.
And they were really, they had dark, like, somber music. And then I don't know what they thought we were, but they didn't like us because we were girls. And we were in between, so they put up all the lights. And you look out in the sea of boys with short pants, and they immediately hated us. And Pat and I had taken some acid.
Oh, have
very bad idea. That. Very, very bad idea. I'm going to say it never happened again. Well, for me. Not yet. Not for me, though. And we switched clothes. Like, I wore Pat's clothes. She wore my clothes. We're up there, and we immediately knew. It was just such a mistake, but we had to get through the show. And I was so uncomfortable. And after every song, these kids in the front, these boys in the short pants, they'd, like, put their heads down. They go, "Oh, you saw your wankers," every song. So at the end, I kind of lost my mind because, of course, I was tripping, and I got in their face. And I don't think they ever had a girl get in their face like that. I said, you know, just eat shit, eat all. You know, I just lost my mind on them, and they literally ran away. That's my one memory of Fuchsia.
Yeah. We're at the end of the second hour, April 1, 2021. Well, Peter's your special guest, Cynthia and Pat, Push Tetris. Hold tight for hour two. April 1, 2021, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
In my hands, eyes are free. My eyes are red. My head so heavy. The sun was set behind the hill. Need silver trees and mustard thrill. My hands are tied behind my smile. My feet are tired. I'll sit a while. The moon came out between the clouds.
Pedro, shall we start off the third hour with True Blue from Bush Tetris, Carnival Jones, Hold the Dream Close, and then Red Heavy, Bush Tetris. So what happened to the band in the old days? How things end up?
Oh, what didn't happen?
Well, you know, we played, we had like we really toured and recorded, and whenever we got back to New York, we had gigs and we were rehearsing. It was nonstop for 2.5-3 years, and we got burnt. Some of us got very burned out from trying to keep up the pace. You know, there's a lot of drugs around, blah blah blah. And Lauren G quit the band, and Cynthia and I were playing with Don Christensen and Bobby Albert. We got a different rhythm section, and we recorded a couple songs with them. But then I just got. I couldn't play anymore. It's just too. I needed a break for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, we would like get together every 5 years,
and then after that we'd sort of do reunion gigs. And then mid-90s, we all kind of had our shit together, and one, you know, more than we did back then, and we got together and, you know, said let's see how we can write some songs. And. And we made a couple of CDs in the 90s.
We did Beauty Lies,
yep,
with Laura. So we had reunited with Laura. And we recorded with Nona Hendrix as a producer. And that was on Tim Kerr Records. And
they were from Portland?
Yeah, Portland.
Yeah.
Or Olympia? No,
Portland. Portland. It was Thor Lindsay.
An offshoot of Mercury, right?
Well, they got bought up by Mercury. Yeah, okay. Anyway. And that was the beginning of the end, because then Polygram took Mercury that over, and then Universal ate that one, and the whole thing imploded. But you know, we recorded Happy with Julia Murphy. We got a new bass player. Laura quit again, and we got Julia, and we wrote some great songs. That's when we did Nails, and we were on like a renaissance there. We had a lot of fun, but then the record label tanked, and they shelved our record, Happy. And we got very heartbroken, so we just stopped playing. It really broke our hearts. It took a break.
It was a little discouraging after putting a couple years into these songs, and then you record them.
Yeah,
and
of course.
Yeah. So anyway, we all took a big break, but we got back together eventually again. Cynthia moved to L.A. for a few years, so in the early 2000s. But yeah, it's been off and on. And, you know, we're not really a major label kind of band. We relate to that, but you know, in the early days, we never made a whole record. In the 80s, we only would make 45s or
EPs.
Yeah, right.
And we finally made a compilation of all the 80s stuff later with Roar.
Oh yeah, the cassette label.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to play Hum.
Okay, great.
Thank you. can't feel. I'm upset. That's what's real. I took a look. Now I can't see. I touched. Now I can't feel. I listen. Now I can't hear. I see your mouth is moving, but I can only look. I don't need to see. I don't need to hear. I don't need to feel. If I can touch you, if I can look at you, take away my senses. My mind is crazy. Let's try to there. It doesn't stop. There's no old swing.
I got it.
for Pedro Show Last Music for this edition. We had Hum from Bush, Tetris, live in Houston, Texas, June 1, 2013. This is, I think it became Houston Saturday or something. Jandik, me and Stefan Gonzalez helped him at a festival there. And Bush, Tetris finally was 7 years. So, like you said something at the beginning of the show about that first stuff you recorded. It's coming out. Are you guys getting something together?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing Wharf Cat and secretly Canadian. They're putting it out, really. And it's going to be like a best of. So it's kind of
a compilation over the years of the past 40 years, really. And some stuff that has never been released.
Like that first stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. I think we're going to have that as probably a special digital track. We're gonna put that in there as a little present.
Which one?
Oh, one of the early unreleased. Yeah. We're going to have an unreleased track in there. But, yeah, we're getting it all together. It's pretty exciting. Okay. And it's going to come out in July.
In July, and you're going to have some of the Happy on there?
Yeah. Some of the Happy is going to be on there.
That's great.
And right now, you can still get Happy on Bandcamp.
Okay. So what is the web presence of Bush Tetris? Where can people find you on the internet?
We have a Facebook page, but we have a Bandcamp.
Okay, is there a Bush Tetra website?
No, there is not a Bush Tetra website.
But they can go to
us. It's ridiculous. But no, we don't have that. We just have Facebook, and we're probably going to. And you know, it would have been a good time to do it, Pat, during COVID. Well, we are slackers. We're actually writing new songs now. We're going to start rehearsing in April. We're all like vaccinated. We're so excited.
So what's this about? Like, you're going to get besides this record, this like a anthology of the older stuff. Are you working on a brand new record?
I think that's definitely a high possibility.
Well, we have a few new songs that we've written and they haven't been recorded and we're working on.
Yeah.
We've got about 6 or 7 new things that actually could be recorded. So maybe we'll do one last big blast unless we keep going until we're like 100-year-old girls.
Well, who's in the band now?
Well, we, you know, Dee, Pat, and I are the original members.
Right.
And Dee.
I said Dee, Pat, and I. Yeah, we're not ever forgetting Dee. He's irreplaceable. So the bass player situation has been a little, you know, little musical chairs. So we have a new bass player that we played a virtual gig with. Her name's Rebecca Corbett, R.B. Corbett. She was in King Missile.
Oh, I remember those cats. Yeah.
Yeah, and she's like really got great energy.
Yeah.
She's really fun. And that's so we can't wait.
So just when I thought it was about time to hang it up, along comes this great, fun new bass player. Who can resist that?
Yeah, like a motivator. Inspirer?
She's a motivator.
Yeah, because, you know, it's great to have. I mean, the only way you want to do this at this point is if you're having fun.
Yeah, that's Pat and my little motto. It's got to be fun.
No more burden.
No more drama.
No more drama.
If that's ever possible.
No more drama. Yeah, we both watched your Minutemen documentary, which is awesome, actually.
Yeah.
And we really related to the whole, you know, the drama that ensues. Like, it's like a family, isn't it? It's a family, and you love them. And, like, Pat and I have been, you know, really best friends for 40 years.
Yeah.
And that's never going to change. We have a pretty mellow thing. We feel really blessed because it's pretty mellow. We don't have any drama between us.
That's great.
No,
that's
we pretty great. Much yeah. agree on things. So.
Yeah.
And plus, I, you know, you get to an age where it's like, choose your battles, really.
Exactly.
Like when you're young, you're much feistier.
When you're more young. We're just less young now.
I'm young in my head now.
Well, me too. I mean, in my head, I'm still 18, but my body, whatever, is another story. But
my body.
We don't need to talk about that. it's doing all right, though.
Well, look, yeah, when this new record gets recorded, will you come back on the show and we can play it and talk about it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Totally. Man, yeah. I would love to hear 40 years. I mean, nothing can replace that.
No.
Yeah.
No. We feel blessed.
It's amazing. I mean, there is a chemistry that just is kind of magical. I've played with a lot of different people in this band. Dean, Cynthia, and I definitely have a chemistry, like, just things just like slide into place.
Right, and now with the new bass.
Yeah. I mean, it was really fun to play with Val Opielski. I love the songs that we did with her.
Well, we made an EP with her on Wharf Cat Records, and that came out about 3 years ago.
Yeah, that's True Blue.
True Blue and Red Heavy. And
yeah, and it was, you know, it was great writing with her, and I think really, also after COVID, you just feel like a renewed thing. Like you feel lucky that you got through it.
Yep.
So far, so good.
Yep.
And you know, I just want to be creative. I mean, it's a gift. It's really fun.
Absolutely. The O word, opportunity, not the B word, burden.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So I can't wait for the new record. So I'm going to be talking to you again as soon as that happens, okay?
Oh, thanks
right,
a lot. It was
absolutely
a great talking to you.
Big honor. People, it's been the April 1, 2021 Dish Wap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.